This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague Bradley Bowman, Senior Director of the Center on Military and Political Power, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, along with his very good colleague Ryan Probst, writing a senior research analyst, look at the defense budget in Congress. We were speaking of the power of Congress. That's the Article 1 of the Constitution. However, these days, all of the energy and attention is at the White House. That's Article 2. So what about Article 1? Brad, a very good evening to you. During the campaign, and you mentioned it again in the beginning of your recommendations to Congress about the defense budget, the number $1 trillion, which gets my attention when they use the T word, was used for the budget. Is it still in train, $1 trillion, or have they moved away from that number? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. It's a real pleasure to join you again. You know, let me start by complimenting this administration by saying, you know, peace through strength. If you have to pick a slogan for your foreign and defense policy, that's a pretty darn good one that has a Ronald Reagan DNA in it, and it's informed by history and human nature. I would say, you know, you got to go back to the Roman saying, if you want peace, prepare for war. And strategists understand that the essence of strategy is the coordination of ends and means. So if you're only talking ends or objectives and you're not talking means, you're not really doing strategy. And so what we're saying in this piece is good job, Trump administration, in focusing on peace of strength, understanding that we want America to have a military capability that is unchallenged and unparalleled in the world to keep our citizens safe and make aggressors think twice before they initiate new aggression. The problem is that the skinny budget or the initial budget request of the Trump administration does not live up to that slogan, and it does not live up to the administration's previous promises to submit a defense budget of over $1 trillion. And they claim what they submitted on May 2nd was a 13% increase. But in reality, what they're doing is they're including a $150 billion defense appropriation as part of the separate congressional reconciliation process that Congress has yet to pass, may not pass, and will be spent over several years. So this is akin like to taking credit for someone else's work. And it's especially when that work is unclear on whether it'll actually be delivered. What they actually did do, John, in their actual defense request, and let me underscore the word request, and I'll make sense of that in a minute, is they asked for $892.6 billion in the base defense budget for fiscal year 2026, next fiscal year. John, that's the exact same amount as the current fiscal year. It's a static request that doesn't even keep up with inflation. That means it's effectively a cut in our defense budget at a moment that we are facing, I would say, extraordinary threats.
Ryan, good evening to you. We are at peace, I'm told. What is the axis of aggressors? What's the scale of the threat that the defense budget must confront?
Hi, John. Thanks for having me on. So the axis of aggressors is what we're calling the cooperation between China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea. And kind of to underline the threat that this poses, the Bipartisan Commission on the National Defense Strategy said that the threats the United States faces are the most serious and most challenging the nation has encountered since 1945 and includes the potential for near-term major war. And what's really driving that threat is the increasing cooperation between all these countries. We're seeing North Korean troops in Russia fighting against Ukraine. We're seeing Iranian drones used by the Russians. And we're seeing the Russians proliferate advanced technology back to Iran, China, and North Korea. And while these countries do have their differences, the thing that unites them is a desire to push back against the United States and undermine our national interests. That's the threat that the defense budget needs to confront.
Brad, I come to you because this number 3% of the GDP reminds me that there's been a debate in Europe for years now, since especially the Russian aggression in Ukraine, that the 2.5% or 1% are inadequate for Europe to provide for the common defense. 3% is a big number. I don't believe right now that is much used in Europe. You mentioned that we're about 3%. Is that where we need to be, or do we need to go much higher? I see in wartime we do go higher.
John, we have a graphic at FDD.org where we lay this out and put this all in historical context. Here's what I would encourage your listeners to understand. At this most dangerous geostrategic moment that we've confronted since 1945, where China alone, I would argue, is more formidable than anything we encountered with the Soviet Union, you have this cooperation that Ryan is talking about. We are spending, measured as a percentage of gross domestic product, less on defense at any time other than just 3 years before 9/11 than we have since 1940, the year before Pearl Harbor. So our current defense spending is around 3% of GDP. We had 3 years right before 9/11 of 2.8%. And then you got to go all the way back to 1940 to see a 1.5%. During the Korean War, over 11%. Vietnam War, over 8%. Reagan's vaunted military buildup, almost 6%. Double what we're spending now. And then even in 2010, during the Iraq and Afghanistan, 4.5%. So I call that strategic dissonance, where the world is dangerous, but people in Washington don't seem to act like it. And the problem is that when you start spending the right amount of money, as I've said before on your show, John, it takes years for that to manifest itself in combat capabilities. And the primary individuals that pay the bill for being slow to spend the proper amounts on defense spending are service members who won't return home to their families.
What is to be done? Ryan, you have two recommendations. The first requires a translation into English. Appropriate the full $150 billion in reconciliation defense spending. What does that mean, Ryan?
Absolutely. So Congress is considering a reconciliation bill, which is a kind of legislative implement to pass additional spending. And as part of that, $150 billion is currently on the table for defense, of which $113 billion would be spent in 2026 and about $37 billion for the next 4 years. So we think that it would be smart for Congress to appropriate that money in the bill so that the defense budget can confront the threats our nation faces.
And if I understand, you take the 896, you add 150. That's what you're recommending.
Actually, let me jump in on that, John. So these are two different things. So you got the reconciliation package, the $150 billion. This is a one-time thing that Congress is working on right now. And then you have the base defense budget. And what the administration requested was the $892 billion. That's the same level as the current fiscal year. We're saying that the actual number for next fiscal year should be at least 3 to 5% above inflation compared to that 2025 enacted level. So appropriate the $150 billion reconciliation and then appropriate a base defense discretionary budget for fiscal year 2026 that is 3 to 5% above inflation.
All right. The second, you authorize and appropriate before October 1st. A base budget, which you just said, of 3 to 5% before October 1st. What is that, the fiscal year?
Yes, that's when the fiscal year starts. And for about 13 or 14 of the last 15 fiscal years, John, our Department of Defense, the men and women tasked with keeping us safe, defending our country, have not started the new fiscal year on October 1st with a new appropriations. Instead, we have what this continuing resolution, which is Beltway speak for copying and pasting the previous year's budget onto the new year. The problem is that our adversaries are not standing still. The threats are different. And what the Department of Defense needs changes. And so when you do that copying and pasting from something that's essentially 12 to 18 months old, you're always playing catch up.
Ryan, our enemies get a vote. Do they see us shortchanging the defense and do they comment?
Our enemies would certainly be happy if the United States were to spend less on defense. Spending efficiently is always very important, but a lot of the problems with the defense industrial base boil down to the fact that we took a hiatus and didn't spend much money for 20 to 30 years. And our adversaries would much like to see us continue to have the same problems we've been having instead of fixing them.
If you want war, shortchange. Bradley Bowman, Senior Director of the Center on Military and Political Power at Foundation for Defense of Democracies, with his colleague, Senior Research Analyst Ryan Brobst. This is a recommendation by the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies to restore the $1 trillion budget that was discussed during the campaign. And if you want peace, prepare for war, with the original Roman saying.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,